Please be seated. Okay, well, my highlight for this week is this Sunday. Our sisters have returned. What a blessing. And so welcome, sisters, Alana and Deborah. Let's welcome our sisters here. It's been a while. It's been kind of tiring to hang out with boys all the time, but there's finally a little bit of normality here. and I'd like to welcome our newcomers, new visitors and people who've come to study at USC and one at UCLA who joined us this summer, right? And so thank you very much for joining us this morning. And another highlight is just our evangelism. We've been seeking and saving lost, and people have been coming to Christ, but I was hoping that people would come to Christ through other people besides me. And sure enough, yesterday God blessed Grant and Brent. You know, they rhyme, you know, Grant and Brent. We were kind of joking about them being together, just presenting themselves as kind of like Mark and Mindy in the old days, you know. So sure enough, they were blessed and they led two people to Christ. Praise the Lord. And I trust that all of us, if we take a step of faith, God will use us. You know, in fact, I taught last week about the Abrahamic covenant. Is that right? Anyone who walks before me and are blameless, they will be exceedingly fruitful and multiply. And so that's something we need to not forget. We have that promise given to us. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ, we are part of Abraham's offspring, heirs according to such promise, this promise. Amen? Okay, today we're going, I was thinking of continuing a little bit in the book of Genesis, and there's other happenings in the book of Genesis. I'm not sure if I'm going to go too long in here, but at least this prominent story and happening is something that we do not want to miss, and it's related to Joseph. How many of you have seen the Joseph story either in movie or in cartoon? So you should be very familiar with the Joseph story. And normally, I speak about this in the beginning of the school year at the campus rally. But I thought I'd speak today here at the church. And the title that I normally use for campus rally is The Secret of Success. Now that's kind of catchy, right? You know, oh, I want to be successful. How can I be successful? So young people would definitely gravitate towards that title, how we can be successful. But I wanted to speak from more of, how to respond well in life point of view. And what Joseph did. And as we read of Joseph's response here, it says here, rereading the passage we just read. Now Joseph stayed in Egypt in 50:22, and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years, or that's after, okay, wait a minute, let's go back to, it's more like 12. Thus his sons did for him as he had charged him, and for the sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field of burial site from Ephron the Hittites. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, and he and his brother and all who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph brothers saw that father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears grudge against us, pays back in full for all our wrong, which we did to him?" So they sent the message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sins. For they did you wrong. And now please forgive, now please forgive the transgression of the servant of the God of your father.'" And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brother also came and fell down before him, and, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to him, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about the present result, to preserve many people's lives. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones."
Excuse me, I'm going to turn off the air conditioning.
So this statement right here is one of the famous statements of Joseph as the book of Genesis ends. When his brothers, who treat him very badly, if you go to the early part of the story, and somehow in the meantime, Joseph became the second in the nation of Egypt, and he was able to save many lives. But his brothers really treated him badly and directed him to the path of life that went from bad to worse. The situations just went bad to worse. And at this time, at the end of his father, Joseph's father, Jacob's life, his brothers were afraid. "What if Joseph takes vengeance on us?" They were terribly afraid. He's a second in the nation of Egypt. But his response was, first he cried, "Am I in God's place? Am I the one to judge and condemn?" Even though he had the right to do it, because his brothers treated him really badly, and his life spiraled down into the worst of situations. But he said, "Am I in the place of God? Even though I could take vengeance, I could take justice, I could exact revenge, but I'm not the one to do that. Vengeance is mine, God says, I will repay. Even if somebody does wrong against us, it's not our place to take vengeance. God is the one who takes vengeance." In this time and age, that might not be so easily practiced, because we are into exacting justice, taking vengeance, claiming my rights, and that's just the way it is. But for the people of God, even if somebody does wrong against us, we are not to be the one who takes a place of judge and condemning. So that's why he cried, saying, "I'm not God." Instead, he said, "As for you, you meant evil against me. You brothers meant evil to harm me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." So this statement describes how much Joseph really trusted in the sovereignty of God. Joseph really believed in the sovereignty. Everything under heaven is under God's sovereignty. So the title of this message is not today, "The Secret of Success." It is how Joseph acknowledged God and submitted to his sovereignty. How Joseph acknowledged God and submitted to his sovereignty. And so we'll be going through the similar story of what Joseph went through. But no longer to be considered solely towards being successful, but more of how he was able to suffer well. Life went from bad to worse and worse, but how he responded so well. He suffered so well, just like Jesus in the New Testament. And yes, he was successful. He was successful not so much because of what he did, which also God acknowledged and he used that. Yes, there's a part that we need to respond. Suffering well under terrible situation, and then there's obedient responses that we need to give ourselves to. But even with our part, God's part is greater. So I just wanted to share this message from the point of view of Joseph acknowledging God through all these circumstances. And he just submitted to the sovereignty of God, to the point even though his brothers almost killed him. But he didn't hold a grudge. You can see, do you sense any grudge in this statement? There is no grudge. Amazing how, you know, how God used him because he had such a spirit of acknowledging God. Well, if you don't know too much about Joseph's story, it starts out actually with Joseph being the 11th son of Jacob. You know, so Jacob came from Abraham. You remember we talked about Abrahamic covenant, how he had a son at the age of 100 years old. God blessed him with the promise, if you walk before me and are blameless, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and multiply. His first son was maybe the second son, but he's the heir, according to the promise, was Isaac. And Isaac had twins. One was Esau and the other is Jacob, right? And so Jacob deceived Esau, and he bought Esau's birthright with a bowl of soup. You know, Esau came back from outdoors and he said, I'm famished, I'm hungry, give me a bowl of soup. And then Jacob goes, if you sell me your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of soup. What is the birthright to me when I'm so hungry? Give me the bowl of soup. Here's my birthright. So he sold the birthright for a bowl of soup. And sure enough, and also when it was time for him to get the blessing from Isaac, he deceived his father. So he's kind of like a conniving deceiver. And yet, one thing good about Jacob is he really wanted the blessings of God. Something we can learn. He really wanted the blessings of God, to the point of deceiving his father to get the blessing, you know? Anyway, this Jacob had 12 sons, and the 11th son, the son whom he had in the late years, Rebekah's son, the woman that he loved very much. He had several wives and wife's servants. He had 12 children. 11th son was a favorite son. And so if you look at chapter 37, there's some little descriptions of how Joseph's story starts. In the second paragraph, chapter 37, verse 2 says, these are the records of the generation of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah, which is, children that Joseph had with these two servant women. His father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. So he was 17 years old, and he was doing the work of the flock, herding in. And he was working with his brothers, and Joseph brought a bad report against his brother. So Joseph was not perfect, actually. He actually had some weaknesses. He had a weakness of overly being honest. So when there's some troubles that happens for his brothers, you kind of have to kind of discern. Now, if speaking about this to my father, is that a helpful thing to the brothers, or if it's a necessary or not? He just told them. You know, he was either overly honest or he just wanted to get them in trouble. And Joseph also had some gift, and many gifts, but one particular, he had a gift of interpreting dreams. In fact, he had a dream of a couple of dreams. It says here in verse 5, then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brother, they hated him even more. He said to them, please listen to this dream which I had, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around me and bowed down to my sheaf. Whoa, what does that mean? He had a dream, and Joseph saying, my sheaf kind of stood up. And your sheaves circled around me, and you bowed down to me. What? Are we going to be your servant, bow down to you? So they got even more upset. You know, they're already upset that because he's a favorite son of their father. You know what else Jacob did for Joseph? He made him a colorful tunic, colorful coat. And everybody wore normal, probably, you know, dingy, beige, because it's dirty, you know. But for Joseph, he was wearing like a prince color tunic. No wonder the brothers didn't like him. So it's not like there's no reasons why the brothers didn't like Joseph. So he had a little bit of a, you know, kind of a overly free mouth to report bad reports about them. And also, he was a favorite son. And now he's telling a dream twice, actually. I won't go to the next one. But he is standing up and the brothers are bowing. And he actually told another dream to his father and said, what? It's like there's a star in the sun and the moon, and the stars were bowing to the star and the moon. And so his father said, what? Are you saying your father and your brothers will bow down to you? And so that was kind of like possibly not very discerning. He had the gift of interpretation, but the interpretation is saying that they are going to serve him. So you might, if you have a discernment like this, you might want to again kind of think about, should I share this to my brothers? Or should I share this to my father? But he just didn't think much of it. He just, you know, my stock is kind of standing up and you're going to bow to me. And so he shared that. And so there's a kind of a weakness of perhaps over expressing his gift. So sometimes we could be this way too, right? We could try to put others down while we put ourselves up. Have you done that before? You know, like you kind of talk down another so that I could feel a little elevated. But also, if you have certain gifts, if you have certain abilities, you want to promote your ability so that you are appearing better than other people with other abilities. So when people are gifted, we need to be careful not to use our gifts to make ourselves look glorious. Or even use the gift God gave to make ourselves look, you know, better than the person next to us. But, you know, basically Joseph fell into that. But anyway, the brothers were very upset, of course, and you know the story how Israel is another name for Jacob. Jacob told them to go search your brothers and see how they're doing. And when he was approaching his brother, the brothers were really angry because of all these reasons. And they said, here comes the dreamer. They called him a name. A dreamer. When he comes, let's throw him in the cistern, which is where they use it for catching rainwater. Let's throw him into the cistern and kill him. But Reuben, one of the brothers, said, no, we cannot kill him. We cannot have blood on our hand. But anyway, Reuben left, and Joseph arrived, and they you know, grabbed him and threw him in the cistern, and they were about to kill him. But Judah, one of the older brothers, says, no, he's our brother after all. Let's not kill him. So, praise the Lord, Judah saved the day. And so then they saw, there's a caravan of Ishmaelites. Who's the Ishmaelites? That's Abraham's other son, Ishmael, and his descendants. And so caravan of Ishmaelites were going by, and they said, let's sell him for a profit. So they sold him for about 20 pieces of silver. It's not 30, otherwise I would have compared it with Jesus. But so 20 pieces of silver, and so they sold him to the caravan. So here's the beginning of Joseph's life going from bad to worse. Actually, he was starting from the favored son, 11th son with a colorful tunic, favored by his father, but hated by his brother. Suddenly, he was grabbed and thrown in the pit, the cistern. That's a beginning of something going bad. But from that point on, he was sold as a slave to a caravan going down to Egypt. So if you were, you know, a favored son in your house, and then you were driving, like, what's a pretty fancy car these days? Lexus? Lexus is not that fancy, is it? Tesla. Oh, Tesla. Driving Tesla. Suddenly you are grabbed and you are sold to one of those body movers, I don't know, who sells people, and you're headed down to Mexico or somewhere far. So it's just like, it's surreal. What's going on here? Wait a minute, I was a favorite son, now I'm a slave in a caravan going down to Egypt? That must have been pretty shocking. So we hear it as a story, but if you were the person who was experiencing this, it must have been pretty shocking. And then, when he went down to Egypt, he was sold to this captain of guard, one of the officials in the court of Pharaoh, named Potiphar. He was sold to his house as a servant. Sold to the caravan, and then sold to this Egyptian's house. And then what happened is Potiphar's wife kind of liked Joseph. Joseph was a very handsome person. Ladies, if he was around, you might have kind of like been praying for him. Lord, may Joseph like me. He was a tall and handsome guy. But Potiphar's wife really fell for Joseph. And when his master left and the husband left, you know, his wife said, come lie with me. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Then you know what Joseph did, right? No, your husband put me in charge of everything in the house. How can I do this? He put me in charge of everything except you because you're his wife. And so she grabbed him to go into the room, but then what did he do? He took off his shirt and ran away. He passed the test. He did the right thing. Guys, I'm not sure if, you know, we would be victorious in such a situation. I hope we are, you know. There was a pastor that I heard on the radio. I'm not sure if he's Greg Glory or somebody, you know, from Calvary Chapel. He said when he was a young guy in high school, and he said there was a girl that he really liked her. I liked him. Oh, wait a minute. girl that he liked. But she's too popular that he didn't even think much of her. And then he said one day she came up to him and she said, "Hey, you look pretty cute. My parents are gone this weekend. You want to come and stay at my house?" Whoa! Here's a young guy who, you know, liked this girl, and then this girl comes to him and makes such an offer. But he said, by God's grace, he said no. So he became a pastor. So he passed the test. I trust all of you guys will pass the test. Also you girls, if some guy comes along and says, "Hey, what's up, ladies?" You'll all pass the test. Well, Joseph passed the test, but the wife didn't like that, and so she framed him because she had Joseph's shirt. And so when the captain came back, Potiphar came back, he was really angry. He threw him in prison. And from there, you know, he stayed many years. And then finally later on, the Pharaoh has a dream. And then he interprets his dream, and then he ends up being in the second of the nation of Egypt. Well, just briefly going through the story. You know, what was it that helped him to suffer well and help him to be blessed to be in the second of the nation of Egypt? Before I said that he made most of every situation, but I want to say this time that it was because the Lord was with him. And in chapter 39, verse 2 says, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man." Even so, let's start from verse 1. "Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt and Potiphar, and Egyptian's officers of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now the master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand." So actually, yeah, he did the best thing in his new situation. He responded well, but really, the blessing really started because God was with Joseph. And it says, God brought favor and blessing in whatever he did. So, the first thing that I want to say in how he suffered well and how he was able to be blessed to be the second in the nation of Egypt is to remember that the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord gave him favor in the eyes of other people, and whatever he did, the Lord blessed it. How many of you want to be a person who is used to bless everyone that you come to be involved with? Yesterday, you know, Grant said, "Oh, I led two people to Christ." Pastor Minong, he led one person to Christ a day, but he led two people. So he was really proud, like, "I led two people to Christ in one day." You know. So I said to him, "No, it's because you were with Brent." I wanted to diffuse the glory. So, but
there are two sides.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna kind of ragging on this guy, but just to keep him humble. All in good fun. But actually, I said that not totally, you know, out of the blue. It's because I was praying that Kevin would be able to share the bridge more. But this past week, it was kind of difficult, and he didn't have many opportunities. Then Kevin went out with Brent, and suddenly, how many bridges do you guys share? Two or three? Let's see, Kevin, how many bridges did you share? Two. But see, all week he didn't get to share much bridge, but then he's with Brent, and suddenly, two bridges. So anyway, God was wanted to encourage Kevin, and also God wanted to encourage Grant. But my thing is like, there's a kind of a connection here. They were both with Brent. So, but anyway, I'm just trying to prove a point, is that if you are blessed, whoever you come around will be blessed also. So we want to make sure that God is with me and he's blessing me. That if I'm involved with anybody else, they will be blessed. What I believe the reason for this is, I believe that Joseph remembered that he's the son of Jacob, who's the son of Isaac, who's the son of Abraham. Joseph, I believe, didn't forget he's the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, all through the Bible, that is repeated over and over again. The son of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. Right. That's repeated. Because you know what? That is the generation who carried out the blessings of Abrahamic covenant. What we just talked about. If you walk before me and are blameless, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and multiply. That blessing was going down to Isaac, but also to Jacob. And Jacob, even though he was conniving and deceiving at times, God blessed him anyway because of the promise he made to Abraham. Does that make sense? Sometimes you're not doing your life is not in the best place, but still, because you're the descendant of a blessed person, the blessing comes. But you know what? What do we say from Galatians? That if you're in Christ, in Jesus, you are a descendant of Abraham. Heirs according to the promise. So for those of you who believe in Jesus, are in Christ, you are blessed with the blessings of Abraham. Same promise given to Abraham, the blessing will come to you. And you need to believe God is with you. Everybody repeat after me. God is with me. No matter what anyone says, God is with me. Okay, that's too long. So to say, God is with you. But not only that, you are blessed. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Therefore, I could bless others. God is with you, and you are blessed. Therefore, you are the source of blessing to others. Why? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. God promised to Abraham. That promise went to Isaac. That promise went to Jacob. That promise went to Joseph. So be around people who believe in that. If you don't believe in that, you have the blessing, but you might be quenching the Holy Spirit. Perhaps even the blessing. But, you know, we want to believe in that ourselves and be around people who believe in this. And so Joseph was blessed, first of all, not because he did anything great. In fact, he had some weaknesses. But it's the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that came upon Joseph. And so if you believe in Jesus Christ, the same kind of blessing comes upon you. May you believe it. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. I kind of experienced that myself through my days of ministry. In my younger days, people, I used to, wait a minute. I'm still young, am I? Yeah. No, I'm old. So I used to go overseas, and that's normal. And I went East Coast, and I opened up the East Coast ministry, had four campus ministry over there. And, you know, I come across people, and it's just kind of strange. Sometimes they just kind of like you. I'm not sure if they like me anymore, but then, hey, you guys like me? Not that I'm, you know, that kind of determines my joy, but, you know, it's like people just kind of like you. So people whom the Lord is with and who is blessing, you know, people will come around and they're kind of like, hey, you're pretty cool. I want to hang out. So Joseph was successful and he responded well because God was with him. God was with him. And whatever he did, God made him successful. And people who he served, even Potiphar, became successful. What a blessing. I hope each of you become that source of blessing. You're blessed by Jesus Christ and Abrahamic covenant, but you will be a blessing to other people. Let's see. Xingwei, when did you believe in Jesus? Half a month ago, a couple of 2 or 3 weeks ago, Xingwei actually prayed to receive Jesus. Before you were not blessed, but now you're blessed. Before Jesus was not with you, but Jesus is in you. You could be a source of blessing to other people. Do you believe that? Yes. So go make friends. So I'm excited that Xingwei is making a lot of friends because he's actually quite a fun guy to be around. He's a very social guy. He loosens up. He's like just like all smiley. And so Christ is in you. The blessing has come. Go bless others. Amen? So this is the one big characteristics about Joseph is that God was with him. And because he's blessed, he was able to bless others. Then there's another part that something he did well, I mean he responded well, was whichever situation he was in, he served well. He served well. To the point where Potiphar's house, he became the foreman. Potiphar gave him in charge of everything because he was so trustworthy. Except his wife. So he served wherever the situation he was in. He didn't spend time complaining about the situation. He just served well. He served well under Potiphar's house. When he was framed and he went to prison, he served well such that he became the foreman in prison. Guys, when you go to prison, work hard for God and you become the top man in prison. Isn't that great? Yeah, you don't want to be the tail of prison. You don't want to be the head, right? You serve well wherever you go. This is what Joseph did. He was blessed by God, but he responded in serving well. You know, one of our speaker, Pastor Alex Swang. You know, I was having fellowship with him one day, and then he. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he shared it during the message. He was counseling one of his. You know, members in the church. And this member always kind of tend to complain about his job. So one day he just sat down and said, okay, what's wrong with your job? I don't like the work. I don't think it's teaching me anything. I don't like the people I'm working with. And especially, I don't like the boss. And he would complain about it every time they meet with each other. And then this time he said, So, is there any job you liked in the past? Not really. How about the job right before this? He said, no. But what was wrong with that job? I didn't like the job. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the boss. Well, sounds very similar. Maybe it's not the job. Maybe it's you. Responding to the work situation. Well, Joseph was different. You know, probably for the other guy, that the guy that Alex Trang was talking about, his work was fine, probably. It's just his attitude, his response. But for Joseph, the situation was getting bad to worse. But no matter where he went, he made the most of it. He served wholeheartedly for God. You know, Juan got a job. It's not quite his dream job. He wanted to be an engineer, physicist. But the Lord led him to be a teacher. So are you making the most of it?
Yes.
You know, let me talk to you after the first week. The students go, no, we don't want to study. We want to play. And then, you know, you have to control the classroom. No matter how bad it is, Juan, how are you going to respond? Well, you're going to be a servant wholeheartedly for God. And then you will become, I don't know how far you can go up in school, but principal, I guess. But the point is, Joseph responded well by serving wholeheartedly. And that was a good thing. Because wherever he went, he just became the top man. You'll get the best situation in that, you know, circumstance. But the other thing that Joseph did well is he passed the test. When the Potiphar's wife wanted to, let's go lie together. What a temptation for a young man, even an old man. He says, no, he remembered. He didn't think about his lust or his, you know, young man's need, or he didn't focus on himself. He said, your husband, trust me, put me in charge of all these things except you because you're his wife. How can I betray him when he trusts me? He thought of the person who would get offended and hurt by him taking advantage of his wife. That's his husband. That's her husband. So how he overcame and passed the test was he focused on loving somebody else rather than loving yourself. How do you overcome even a situation like this, compromising situation? Is always to choose to think about how can I love people rather than love and gratify myself. You know, right now, in this time and age, it's the same thing. It's like there's tempting situations going on, even just going out walking in the street, especially in USC campus. And internet with a lot of pornography and things like could be very compromising. We could either gratify our natural self, or we could choose to love people. If I gratify myself, does this help people? Does it help value the person? Is it respecting the person? If I compromise and indulge in these things, is it going to strengthen my character or corrupt my character? If my character is corrupted, can I help people effectively? So for me, I remind myself as often as I can, I just say, God, I want to be holy because you are holy. I want to be holy because you're holy. That's just my simple prayer. But along the way, God gave me another expression. God, I want to sanctify myself for them. Because them meaning you guys. I'm in a place of leadership helping the congregation, my disciples. If I compromise myself, then how can I help you guys? My moral character will be compromised. So I'm thinking about you to love you so that and staying away from any lust. Does that make sense? So how to overcome a lustful situation is think about how to love others rather than gratifying yourself. But this is going to be a huge test for us men and sometimes women, because keeping our moral character, you know, just pure and quality will make or break how you will be used by God. Remember how we are to be walking with God and remain blameless. If we're blameless walking with God, then we would be exceedingly fruitful. But if we are compromising, then that'll reduce our chance of being exceedingly fruitful. It will hinder the Holy Spirit, definitely. So if you hinder the Holy Spirit, you hinder the power. If you hinder the power, then you're hindered from bearing fruit. Does that make sense? So we are, you know, Joseph was alone, and he's pretty admirable. He passed the test being alone. But we're together. We can help each other, right? That's what the church is for. We can help each other to pass the test of this compromising, lustful situation. But the other thing I think he did well is he did use his gift for people's sake. In the beginning, he used this gift to kind of elevate himself before his brothers in a way. But when he went to prison, two people came into prison. One was a king's cook, Pharaoh's cook, and the other was a cupbearer. They were thrown into prison for whatever the reason. But they both had a dream. And they didn't know, what's going on? What is this dream about? They were just kind of sharing with each other. I had a dream. I don't know what it means. But then Joseph heard and said, hey, I could help you to interpret that dream. The Lord gives me interpretation. And so the cupbearer's dream, you know, interpreted that in a certain amount of days, you will be free and you'll go back to the king. And then for the cook, he says, in several days, you're going to be executed. Sure enough, he died. The cupbearer went back to the king. But before he went back to the king, Joseph said, please remember me when you go before the king. That was his kind of like a natural plan, strategy to solve his own problem, rather than God freeing him from that situation. So when the cupbearer went to the king, Pharaoh, he didn't remember Joseph. He forgot him for 2 years. Why did he make him forget for 2 years? It's so that Joseph would not put his hope on the cupbearer, but his hope will be continually in God. Sometimes we use, you know, in our situation, in my situation, I don't like it. I don't want to be here in the prison. I don't like to be here in this situation. I don't like to be in that class. I don't want to be in this job. I don't want to be involved in this ministry. It could be anything. It could be uncomfortable. And we could strategize our own plan. I want to exit this situation. So Joseph used cupbearer. Cupbearer, yeah, you're going to go before the Pharaoh, please remember me. He used his own strategy, not trusting God, trusting the cupbearer and the king. So that's why God made the cupbearer forget him for 2 years. And so when he just finally, okay, I'm not going to trust in the cupbearer, God did it himself. What did God do? God made the Pharaoh have a dream. And he wanted interpretation, but nobody in the land could give interpretation except the cupbearer said, King, I remember when I was in prison, I had a dream, and this young man, Joseph, interpreted my dream, and it came true. Go get him. He brought him out of the dungeon. He washed him, and he put clothes on. God delivered Joseph out of prison. And so he used his gifts in the proper way. Whenever he tried to do it in the wrong way, like use the cupbearer to get out, you know, God forbid it. But he did it in a way he could use his gifts to the Pharaoh. And so he was able to, you know, then be freed from prison. And then he interpret the king's dream. And then the Pharaoh said, you know, the dream I won't go into because it's kind of long, but he interpreted that, you will have 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, plenty of food, and then it's going to be followed with 7 years of drought. So I suggest that you save up, you know, 1/5 of the grain for 7 years and store it, and then use it when it's in drought. You should appoint someone. And the Pharaoh said, who's better than you? You will be the one in charge of doing this task. And he gave him a signet ring, symbolizing the king's authority, was given to Joseph. You know who that's like? It's like Jesus has the authority of God. So Joseph actually is a symbol of Christ. And so he used his gift well, and God used his gift to deliver him from prison, then to be the highest in the nation of Egypt. How many of you want to experience the pinnacle of what you can be used for? Whatever gifts you have, whatever, you know, plan God has for you, do you want to participate in the greatest plan God has for you, or you just want to settle for what you can get? Do you want this much, or do you want this much? Okay, people, follow after me. Do I want this much? Your hand, come on, you know. Do I want this much, or do I want this much? If I use my strategy and trust myself, you'll get this much. If you trust God and pass the test, then you'll get this much. All right, I told you. This, you know, actually, it is a secret. That's the secret to being most used by God. Participating in the greatest plan God has for you is to be those who remember that God is with you. He blesses you. We should go be a blessing. We should be those who pass the test. Like Joseph. We should be those who serve the Lord in whatever the situation you're in. Don't waste time complaining. Just serve wholeheartedly the best you can. You can't go wrong that way, right? If you serve wholeheartedly, you will develop, you will grow yourself, but you will also elevate in whatever the position that's in your situation. And then if you use your gifts well, not wrongly, don't use your gifts to elevate yourself. Use your gifts to serve people. Then perhaps God may bring you before a king. Or the president of the United States. Wait a minute, president of the United States, not the highest. Who's the highest? No, actually, I don't know. He might bring you before famous people. But you know, this is my final point that was the beginning of the message. What really helped Joseph to be responding well and be so successful is because he acknowledged God in each of the situation. He submitted to God's sovereign orchestration of where he is. Did he want to be thrown into the pit? No, God sovereignly allowed it. Did he want to be sold to the caravan of Ishmaelites? No, God sovereignly allowed it. Did he want to be sold to the Potiphar's house? No, God sovereignly allowed it. Did he want to get framed by Potiphar's wife? No, God sovereignly allowed the test. He passed the test. But still his master threw him in prison. Do you want to be in prison? No, God sovereignly allowed it. But because he acknowledged God is involved in each of these situations, he sovereignly said, God allowed it, he is in control, there must be something he's trying to do. He's trying to grow me through this tough situation. He wants to make me a better person. And he's preparing me for something even. You know, you need to think about the little situation you're having a difficult time and you're not responding well. It's not just that situation. That little situation, God is testing you to see if you trust God and his sovereignty, and to see if you're responding well. It's not only for that situation. That responding well is a preparation for the next situation. The responding well to in the next situation is preparation for the next situation. As you get prepared well in each of the situations, you're being shaped. You're being formed. Preparation to be the second in the nation of Egypt. That's what Joseph was being prepared for. He needed to be thrown into the pit. He needed to be sold. He needed to be sold twice. Then he needed to be framed. He would need to be thrown in prison. Went from bad to worse. Continual declining to the worst of situations. I think in prison back those days, they don't have toilets. It's just like toilets everywhere. So it's not a good condition. But you need to pass the test of responding well, recognizing God is sovereign. God allowed this, and I need to submit to it, to fear God, serve God, and honor God by using my gifts for his glory. And then he finishes his life almost. He becomes the second in the nation of Egypt. He saves many Egyptians' lives. But then his father and the brothers come because there is no grain in the land of Canaan. And he saves the neighboring countries. So he saves Egyptians and the neighboring country, including Canaan. They come to Egypt to buy grain. And that's how his brothers and father end up coming to Egypt. And you know, Israelites stayed in Egypt for 470 years. Wow. That was the beginning of it. The Israelites from that land of Canaan, they came to Egypt. They stayed there for 470 years. Until Moses came and delivered them back to the land of Canaan. Does that make sense? Amazing. So, Joseph became the prince in Egypt. He saved many lives. And when the brothers came, finally, let's reread this because we're going to end with this thought. We're pretty much done. Genesis 50. Let's go back to our original passage. When the brothers were afraid because their father Jacob passed away. At least when Jacob was alive, he was the deterrent, they thought, from Joseph taking vengeance on them. They thought. They didn't realize God is the one who's kind of like protecting them. They thought Jacob was protecting them. But once Jacob died, they thought, oh no, Joseph is going to take vengeance. And they were making up stories. Please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. So they were afraid. They were afraid because they didn't know how to acknowledge God and trust in God's sovereign protection. They did wrong, but then they were not like Joseph. But Joseph, because he trusted the sovereignty of God, he didn't hold a grudge. There's no sense of grudge. And in fact, if he had the grudge, when he was thrown into the pit, I hate my brother. I hate my brothers. He would be bitter. He got sold to the caravan of Ishmaelites. He would be bitter even more. He's suffering at Potiphar's house as a servant when he was a favor son. He would become bitter. If you're bitter, you can't serve well. If you're bitter, your moral character is compromised. You can't pass the test of Potiphar's wife. Does that make sense? Bitterness of a person causes them to fall from grace. Not only are they bitter, they will make other people bitter. That's the thing that I fear the most. Anybody, if they fall into bitterness, they not only defile themselves, but they start defiling other people. I don't see any glimmer of bitterness in Joseph. And that is why he was able to do well in each situation. You know, I'm sure he was like not happy about it, but then he didn't let it go beyond not being happy, maybe upset. Anger is dangerous too. Anger, if you stay too long in anger, it becomes bitterness. So that's why I don't like, when something happens to me, I like to call it upset. I'm upset about that. I don't even like to call that anger. I'm angry about that. Because angry, if I start allowing myself to feel anger about something, it's only a stone throw to become bitter. So right now, I don't think I'm bitter about anything, as far as I can tell. I'm upset about some things. So, but Joseph was able to stay away from anger and bitterness because he trusted God is involved in this situation. God is allowing it. So I shouldn't be kicking and screaming and getting angry and, you know, those brothers of mine, they put me in this situation. He didn't waste time doing that. He just served God in his situation. And God just elevated him. To the point where even though he was in power to be able to punish his brothers, he just cried, no, I'm not the judge for you. I can't, even though I have the right to take vengeance, but I'm not the one who takes vengeance. God is the one. I'm not God. But even though you meant it for wrong, he didn't explain what they did. He said, yeah, you meant it for wrong. You meant it for wrong, but God meant it for good. So that's kind of like my situation. You know, we had some major kind of transition going on in the past year. And whether I like it or not, it happened. But I recognize God's sovereignty. He wants to do something new. He wants to do something new for those people who moved on. He wants to do something new for our church. Because God is sovereign. He is present, and he wants to bless us because of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So I trust anybody who believes in Christ and remembers the Abrahamic covenant, wherever they go, they will be blessed if they walk before God and are blameless. And so what we need to do is we want to be walking with God and try to be blameless as we can. If that happens, the Lord will reveal his sovereign plan. So I'm really thankful. Hey, you know what? I think the summer is over now. We have more people here. It was like 4 or 5 people in the summertime, and now we have a little more people. It feels like a church now. Actually, church is more than 2, so actually that's not true. 2 or 3 come together is where God dwells. So, but it's good to see all of you, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God's sovereign plan is to take us through a transition. But I want to respond like Joseph. How many of you are with me? How many of you want to respond like Joseph in your situation? Amen. Only way is up, and be blessed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that Because of Joseph's acknowledgement of you in every circumstances, because he submitted to your sovereignty that you are in it, you're allowing it, and at the same time, you're using it to shape us and test us. So when we walk before you and are blameless, like Joseph, Lord, you continue to use every circumstances to really shape us to be more like Jesus. So when the time comes where you want to express your plan before our eyes, that we will be ready. So Lord, that we may have a God-fearing heart, God-acknowledging heart, submitting heart to your sovereignty, and serving heart to do our best in any situation that you put us into. So we ask you to bless each and every one of our brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.